Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right. Good afternoon. It is Sunday, October 27th, almost Halloween. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am Dana Barrett, and with me, as always, producer Mike Roy. How are you?
I'm doing good, as always, as in I have nothing else better to do than hang out with you on a Sunday.
No, as in you are reliable, you are, you know, dedicated, you are committed, and I love that.
I can't help but fish for compliments, but thank you.
It's all right. You fish for compliments. I self-promote. It's all good. The number here in the studio
One of us is more guilty of that than the other.
Well, that could be true. And I'm about to do that like over and over again in this first segment, so just, you know, roll with it. The number here in the studio, if you want to give us a call, is 404-231-1190, and you can also tweet your comments to @DanaHBarrett or use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. Okay, so this segment, I've got some stuff. Did you have a busy week this week? Did you do anything fun? Go any good restaurants, movies, anything?
You're going to make me say it, aren't you?
Yes.
I turned 31 on Wednesday, and you made me say that, and I don't like talking about that anymore.
I feel like I should sing happy birthday, but I don't
want to. Well, no. It's not my birthday anymore. If you had called me on Wednesday, I would have probably listened for a little while, but
had I only known.
But yes, I went out for pizza with my family, it was fun.
All right. Well, happy birthday, belated.
Thank you.
And I had a couple of interesting experiences this week. So first of all, I went to yet another movie, and I do this all for you, the listeners, because I know you need to know about these movies when you're making your movie decisions. And I'm especially pleased to be able to talk about this movie because it gives me the excuse to say Benedict Cumberbatch yet again this week. This week we went to see 12 Years a Slave, which is based on a true story. And it stars Chiwetel Ejiofor, easy for me to say. And he was fantastic, starred in the movie. Solomon Northrup is the author of the book and the guy who this really happened to in the late 1800s, of course. But the movie also had a lot of cameos, sort of small parts played by big names like Brad Pitt. Michael Fassbender played kind of the bad guy. Sarah Paulson was in it. And Benedict Cumberbatch. Really, really, really intense movie, but really good, really worth seeing. And I think this year I might, like, if I watch the Oscars, I might have actually seen most of the movies that are going to be nominated. I think this one could very well be one of them. So if you get a chance, check it out. And then, depending on where you see the movie, you might want to get something to eat. I got to tell you about a restaurant I went to. These segues are horrible, and I apologize. But this Friday night, I believe it was, we went to a place, a relatively new place in town, Brookhaven, called Shucks Restaurant. And if you're getting the pun, you're realizing that that is oyster related. It's one of the Here to Serve restaurants, which is a great group of restaurants, includes things like, I think Prime is one of their restaurants, Asia, Coast, Noche. Anyway, Shucks is a really cool concept. It's a really small place with like communal tables. And they have, you know, all kinds of different oysters, but they also have their other specialty is grilled cheese. So it's like grilled cheese sandwiches and oysters, and not just like different, not just single grilled cheese, like all different varieties of grilled cheese. And part of the reason I wanted to talk about it is because we had a guy waiting on us who called himself Mongo. He was the bartender. I think his real name is Mark, and he was fabulous. And I love to talk about good service because, you know, there's so many people in the world giving you bad service on a regular basis that when, and we're always ready to call them out. We're ready to write the nasty letters and, you know, talk to the manager and whatever it is. But this guy gave us great service the whole night. He was selling. He was totally selling, but in such a positive, good, upbeat way. He really seemed like he liked his job. And we also chatted a little bit with the manager, Dave, who just got promoted and is the GM of that restaurant. And so both really good guys and a really good place. So again, that's Shucks in town, Brookhaven. Check it out when you get a chance. All right. Let's see. What other self-promotion do I need to do? Oh, yeah. So earlier this week, well, let me start by saying this. I think I talked about last week or the week before the book festival of the MJCCA, which is coming up in November. It starts November 2nd. And goes through the 17th. And I'm on the, I'm a co-chair of the committee, one of the committees there. So it's sort of a little bit of a personal thing, but not really. The reason I bring it up is because, first of all, I want to tell you about the kickoff event, which is November 2nd, which is author Scott Turow. I think you remember the movie Presumed Innocent? Harrison Ford was in it, I believe. Old movie.
Sounds familiar.
Well, it was a huge book written by Scott Turow, and he's been a New York Times bestselling author, whatever. Well, he's going to be here November 2nd talking about his new book, which I believe is called Identical. And there's still tickets available, so you can get those at atlantaajcc.org/bookfestival. Also, I will be there on November 8th on stage interviewing an author named Letty Cotton Pogerben, who is the founder of Ms. Magazine. And she has a book called How to Be a Friend to a Friend Who's Sick. And it's going to be a really interesting interview for me because it's going to be very personal in that she and I both had breast cancer and we had very similar diagnosis. And so I would love everyone to come out and see that talk. That's November 8th. It's a Friday and it's at lunchtime. So if you have a little time during your lunch hour, come check it out. And you can get tickets for both of the all of the JCC Book Festival events at atlantajcc.org/bookfestival. And that also leads me to the clip for this week, because they had a prologue event. Even though the festival starts November 2nd, they had a prologue event this week with History Channel TV host and author Brad Meltzer. His show on the History Channel is called Decoded, and he has a new book out called History Decoded, and it's about the 10 greatest conspiracies of all time. So I got a chance to go backstage with kind of a handheld mic and a handheld recorder and a camera and interview Brad. So here's a little clip from that. Which conspiracy surprised you the most when you went and did the investigation?
The JFK one. You know, JFK is the mother load. And what I was most surprised by, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I found out who killed JFK. But I was surprised by how much misinformation is out there. You know, we all know the stories, and there's the grassy knoll, and we know that there's, you know, how did Jack Ruby get in? But movies like JFK by Oliver Stone, they there's facts in there, but there's myths in there, things that Oliver Stone totally made up. And I said, you know what? I want our readers to know what's real, what's fake, what really happened, what never happened. And to me, that's the best story I can provide, which is the true story.
As best we could get, right?
Listen, the only one who knows is Lee Harvey Oswald, right? When Jack Ruby shot him, we lost all hope of finding out what really happened. And if someone today said, I helped Lee Harvey Oswald, no one would believe him. But to me, what's interesting is if you look historically, here's who shot JFK. In the 60s, we thought it was the communists. It was the Russians. It was the Cubans, our great enemy in the Cold War. We also didn't like the establishment, so we thought it was rich Texas millionaires who did him in. In the 70s, though, time of Watergate in Vietnam, who killed JFK? We said our own government. It was the CIA who did it. And in the 80s, as the Godfather movies give way to Scarface, who killed JFK? It was the mafia. If you want to know who killed JFK, it's whoever America is most scared of in that decade.
So again, that was Brad Meltzer, the History Channel TV host and author, talking about his new book, History Decoded, The 10 Greatest Conspiracies of All Time. And it's a really cool when you think about that. I never thought about it, but it gave me the chills when he said that, you know, that we sort of change our minds with the times. And it really does make sense. We are really culturally driven in this country, and we are very headline driven. I always accuse all of us, including myself, of kind of surfing the headlines. And I think we sort of can't help but form our opinions based on what's foremost in our minds. And so basically what he's saying is that with each passing decade and with each sort of change in our culture, we changed who we thought killed JFK.
Well, that's interesting, because even before you played that clip, I knew number one was going to be JFK. It just seems like it's number one in a landslide. But I never knew that so many people thought so many different
right
things about his assassination right as to who killed him. That's interesting.
It's pretty fascinating. And the 10 conspiracies are all pretty fascinating, I have to say. He's got John Wilkes Booth. You know, maybe he still lived on and didn't die 12 days after shooting Lincoln. He's got the D.B. Cooper story. And that one's the best because he kind of solves it. He kind of finds who the real D.B. Cooper was. You got to buy the book, though, to get the details. And you know, he talks about the Georgia Guidestone, something I didn't even know existed, the sort of America's Stonehenge right here in Georgia. A lot of really cool stories. And it's a cool book because it has pullouts, too. Like, it has these little secret documents and envelopes that you can pull out. A great, great holiday gift. I'm not even kidding you. I bought 5 copies to give as holiday gifts this year. If you want to hear the full interview, go to midtownreview.com. You'll see a link for the interview there and a link to the book as well if you're interested in getting a copy.
Well, if you feel like getting your perfectionist producer or president. That sounds like
you would be into that.
I'm not saying, not mentioning any names.
No,
but
no hints or anything.
No hints. No, okay. No, no. I'm just saying that sounds interesting. It's something that the producer might enjoy reading.
I can respect that. Yeah, I can respect that. I like knowing what to get people, so that works. But anyway, really cool book. I highly recommend it. Again, it's called History Decoded, the 10 Greatest Conspiracies of All Time. And if you're a book person, I got one other little book note to mention before we take a break. And that is that I run a public book club called the Midtown Review Book Club. It's part of that same website, midtownreview.com. But you can get the details on the book club by going to going to meetup.com/midtownreview. And I'll post all this on my Facebook page, too. But the reason I bring it up is because this coming Tuesday, the 29th at 7:30, we have a book club meeting at Pastis in Roswell. It's open to the public, and we'll have an author there. Her name is Lynn Cullen, and she will be there talking to us about her new book, Mrs. Poe, which is a story about Edgar Allan Poe and some women in his life. So pretty interesting stuff, and I'm really looking forward to that, and you're welcome to join us. Go to meetup.com/midtownreview to get the details on that. After the break, we are going to talk about some headlines here in Atlanta. We're going to talk about Conan O'Brien. We're going to talk about Julianne Hough. We got all kinds of things to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Biz 1190.
Hey, Todd.
Whoa, Doug, how did you get a PlayStation 4? It's not even out yet.
How did I get a PlayStation 4 before it's even out yet? Well, I'll tell you. I entered for a chance to win a PlayStation 4 before its official release after I purchased a $5 box at a participating Taco Bell location.
What?
Taco Bell is giving away one PlayStation 4 every 15 minutes. Prices may vary. Tax extra. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Promotion ends 11-10-13. Official rules and free entry info at participating stores or www.tacobell.com/winPS4. Play the future first.
Man, Doug, you've really changed since law school.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Online at biz1190.com. It's radio that's right on the money.
All right, we are back. This is Week in Review, the Business Radio X clip show and catch you up on everything in Atlanta show. And
don't call it a clip show because then people will think that it's just clips of the show from the past.
That's a good point. You are right. That is a good point. I take it back.
I completely know what you meant, but this is the Business Radio X clip show as in... You're best
right.
Of.
You're right. You're right.
We're not live.
We are live, people. Yes. We are live, and we will prove it. Call us, and we will prove that we are live. 404-231-1190. If you're shy, you can just tweet us with the hashtag BizRadio, BizRadio.
Promise we don't have just some lonely guy hanging out waiting for the calls in case someone calls to, I don't know.
That's right.
We're live.
We're live. And this segment is going to kind of be our What's Happening All Around Atlanta segment. So I'm going to start with some sort of fun headlines, and then we'll get into some more serious stuff. First of all, I don't know if you caught it earlier this week. The Zoo Atlanta Panda Cubs were named. Aww. They are Mei Loon and Mei Huan. Easy for me to say. The names, which originate from a Chinese idiom meaning something indescribably beautiful and magnificent, were announced via live broadcast on Good Morning America on October 23rd. So, oh, congratulations to the little cubs. Very cute. And speaking of cute, or maybe not cute, but delicious anyway, the Atlanta-filmed Anchorman 2 movie has inspired a new Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavor. It's going to be called Scotchy Scotch Scotch. I guess we'll have to see the movie to get the reference. Does he say that in the first Anchorman? Or
kind of. He has a little song about how he likes scotch. It's brief, but it's probably done a little bit more in depth in the second movie.
Well, Scotchy Scotch Scotch is going to be a creamy concoction of butterscotch ice cream with ribbons of butterscotch swirl. And not sure if I will see the movie, but I will definitely eat that ice cream. Just saying. Other more serious stories around town. Unfortunately, the Metro Atlanta home sales market was a little bit weak in September. They say that single family home sales were down 2.8%, and the median sales price jumped to $189,000, but that's not a very big jump, unfortunately. So, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of questions about the economy with all this crazy stuff that's been happening, of course, with the government shutdown and who knows, and the debt ceiling. And so people are very skittish, I think, right now. We have one of the clips later on the show. I didn't play the whole I'm not going to play the whole episode for you. It'll be later on in the show, but it's with a financial advisor, and he talks a little bit about people sort of just not being in the market because they're worried about what's going to happen. But anyway, that's a story for later on in the show. I went off on a tangent, and I apologize. Getting back to Atlanta, here's an interesting story. In Kennesaw, the Kennesaw Mountain Battlefield Park is going to actually grow by 42 acres. It's something that I kind of found interesting just because it's hard to think of those things as still growing and changing. You think of them sort of being as stationary and that's it. They are what they are. But as it turns out, the Trust for Public Land has just paid $1.76 million for property near Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield Park, and they're going to expand it by 42 acres. Apparently, the land was the site of heavy fighting between the Union and Confederate troops during the Battle for Atlanta. And so it's kind of cool that they're going to, you know, save that area and let it be part of the park as opposed to being developed or whatever. So that's kind of a cool thing. Let's see. Okay, also, in terms of development, if you're a golf person, you're going to love this one. If you didn't catch this story, this is pretty cool. Greg Norman, the world-famous golfer known as the Great White Shark, is launching a golf academy at the giant Lake Point Sports Complex. So that is northwest of Atlanta. It's a big 30-acre project. And he already has an academy like that in Myrtle Beach, but now he's going to have one here. It's, I'm not sure where it is exactly, but you golfers probably already know. You probably don't even need me to tell you. I think it's kind of somewhere up 75, northwest. That's all I know. Anyway, keep your eye out for that if you're a golfer, because I think there's going to be some pretty cool opportunities to learn up there. Practice range, 9-hole par 3 golf course, coaching, instruction, yada, yada, yada. Pretty cool. All right. We like development. Development brings jobs. And speaking of jobs, the mobile software firm AirWatch is going to add 400 jobs in Atlanta next year, which is pretty cool. AirWatch, you know, it's an interesting company. Have you heard of them at all?
Not really. I'm interested in hearing what
it's kind of interesting. You know, there's so much technology that's like come about because of other technology. So really, what they do is they help companies manage, monitor, and secure employee cell phones, tablets, and other mobile devices. So all of these mobile devices created a whole world around which other companies can be built to support the technology. You know, it's kind of interesting. So they're all about security. Everybody's always worried about, you know, obviously the NSA, we're all hearing all about the spying and whatever that's going on now. And a company like AirWatch is out there to protect your company from having company secrets stolen off of your employees' gadgets. So they're going to be hiring. If you are a tech person, look for job opportunities there. All right, let's get to the clip so I make sure I don't run out of time. It's in our Around Atlanta theme. This comes from our Gwinnett Business radio station. It's the Gwinnett Business Radio Show, which is every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. on businessradiox.com. It's hosted by Mike Salmond and Stephen Julian. And This week they had Jason West on the show. He is the director of programming and development for the Gwinnett Environmental and Heritage Center. It's kind of like a nature science and learning center. You know, kids go there on school field trips and all of that. And so he's talking in this clip about some of their really cool educational programs. So go ahead and take a listen to this.
We offer programs from pre-K to college, as I mentioned, and we're always looking for that connection to, here in Gwinnett, the academic and knowledge skills curriculum and the Georgia Performance Standards. Because, you know, principals, they are very attuned to test, and so we want to make sure that the concepts that we're providing are connected to the performance standards, so that when a kid comes in, the concept hits home, and when they take that test, they do some type of hands-on activity that they remember at the center that brings that connection. As far as our public programming, we're always looking at interesting ways to connect to science and heritage and culture. For instance, last Friday, we did a Creatures of the Night Festival in connection with Halloween. We had over 1,000 people at the center on a Friday night, and they were looking at nocturnal animals and looking at the adaptations that nocturnal animals have so that they're, you know, functioning out in the night, in the darkness. And it was a neat way to kind of have a Halloween theme, but yet it has a science theme to it. Kids were doing owl pellet dissections. You haven't lived until you've dissected an owl pellet. And, you know, most people don't think about that for Halloween, but that's what we're doing. For Christmas, we have our own sustainable gingerbread house competition. We had over 70 entries last year where people made gingerbread houses, but they had to have some kind of sustainable element, rain chains, a green roof, something like that. So it was a neat concept, taking some holiday fun and yet connecting it to some type of education. You know, we think education is fun, and you know, and that's what we do. We try to take our programming and make it interesting to the community, but also fun.
All right. Again, that was the Gwinnett Business Radio Show. That was Jason West talking. And if you want to hear more about what's happening in Gwinnett, tune into that show or go listen to the podcast. You can do that at gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And the thing that I thought was interesting about that is, you know, he sort of talks about making educational projects and programs sort of fun for kids and sort of disguising them in, you know, Halloween themed things or holiday themed things. And this is sort of something that's been going on for a long time. Obviously, in schools, they try to make things fun for the kids while they're learning. And certainly lots of children's books do that. And, you know, there's lots of things out there. But I just want to say that I think they should do that for us grownups, too, because we need help learning sometimes, too. And if someone could make it fun, if our jobs could be more fun, you know, we would probably work harder. Just saying. Just putting it out there. All right. Before we wrap up what's happening around town, I've got two other stories I want to let you know about in case you missed them. First of all, there was a former Coca-Cola. I love criminal stories because they just crack me up. But there was a former Coca-Cola sales executive who has been charged with stealing, get this, $400,000 from the company to pay his personal expenses. This guy, Jeffrey David Shamp, 40 years old of Cincinnati, Ohio, has been charged with fraud and money laundering. And this is what he was doing. Apparently, he was a sales guy, and he had access to these Amex gift cards that he was supposed to be able to give to his clients who were buying Coca-Cola products in large quantity and to their employees as an incentive. But instead, he took these Amex gift cards and he used them for himself. So he apparently did this for quite some time, something like 6 years. And he finally got caught. So, whoops. This is when people just get greedy. You know what I mean? Like, if he had just taken one or two, he probably could have gotten away with it. But $400,000? Dude, what were you thinking? Come on. All right. Also, just FYI, before we take a break, if you've been paying at all attention to the deepening of the harbor project in the port of Savannah, it looks like the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill that will clear the way for this project. It still has to go to the Senate and to the president, but this will be a huge thing for Georgia. If the port deepens, we can get bigger ships in there. That means more commerce here in the state of Georgia. So it's a really good thing. So we want it here in Georgia. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for more on that story. And of course, I'll keep you updated as well. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will have more great stuff, clips, gossip, you name it. We'll be right back.
From Wall Street to Peachtree. This is Biz 1190.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids, you can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the TownHall.com Weekend Journal. The Obamacare rollout isn't over, but the results are official.
This is a failure of epic proportions.
Even friends of Obama are having trouble justifying this disaster.
Yes, apparently the healthcare.gov website has 99 problems, but a glitch is all of them.
Fast, engaging, insightful. The TownHall.com Weekend Journal.
Don't miss the TownHall.com Weekend Journal. Sunday mornings at 7, right here on Biz 1190. Always right on the money.
We live in a world where entire fortunes can disappear in seconds. There is, however, one investment so safe, no investor has ever lost a dime of principal or a nickel of interest. Municipal bonds backed by the leader in bond insurance, Assured Guarantee. With a quarter century of experience and $12 billion in claims-paying resources, ask your financial advisor about Assured Guarantee. For investors who embrace possibilities, but invest in certainties.
Hi, this is the Wizard. Join me and the Fox every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. The show's about the stock market. We are in a great bull market. It will last another 3 or 4 years. So let us teach you how to make money and be a winner on Wall Street. Whether you're a trader or an investor, we can teach you how to win. So join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. Be a winner.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Biz 1190. Weather.
Nice weather in the forecast for this afternoon. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Your high around 70 degrees. Otherwise, tonight, a comfortable night. Certainly a much milder than recent nights have turned out to be. We'll have a low around 52. Tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a shower. High temperature 73. Tuesday and Wednesday, dry weather. A mix of clouds and sunshine. We'll have a high of 76 both days, and it stays warm through Thursday. Friday's probably warm too, but I think the next front will bring some rain to the area Friday. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dave Samuel for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, producer Mike Roy hanging out with me for the hour. And you can call us here in the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet us, hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. Okay, this segment today is going to be about money. Money, 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 money. It's a business radio show, so we can talk about money. You know, you're not supposed to talk about money in polite company, but we're going to. For starters, would you spend your hard-earned money on a $629 iPad? Yikes. I don't know if I would. But of course, if you missed it, the Apple announcements of, I guess their new product announcements, however you want to say it, came out this week. A couple of interesting things. The iPad, this is always leaked before they do the announcements. Everybody kind of knows what to expect. But essentially, they announced the iPad Air, which is a thinner iPad, and the fanciest version of it is going to go for $629. That's the 32 gig version. There's also a 16 gig version, which will be $499. Interesting stuff. The bigger announcement, almost in my mind, was the new OS, the new operating system, the Mac OS X Mavericks, which has come out. And in a change, in a move change for Apple, easy for me to say, it's free. So you don't have to pay to upgrade. That's a little bit of a different strategy, and I like it. So anything that's free, free is good. So go ahead and upgrade, and you'll get some better speeds, some fixes, all that good stuff. Not sure if I would buy. There's a survey on the Atlanta Business Chronicle website about whether or not you would buy a new iPad based on the announcements they made this week. 32% said yes, 44% no, 24% unsure. I would fall into the unsure category. My iPad's fine. I don't think I would buy a new one until the old one dies, but that's just me. Or they come out with some really, really cool new thing, which this doesn't seem like that's it to me. Anyway, all right. Speaking of money and the holiday season, this is where we break our budgets. We blow all our hard-earned cash buying gifts. And that's just good because it means we have people in our lives that we love, that we want to spend money on. So I guess, you know, there are good and bad things to holiday shopping. But I will tell you this. UPS is predicting a holiday season volume increase of 8% this year. And they're actually going to be hiring 55,000 seasonal employees across the U.S. to help deal with that extra traffic. If you haven't paid attention to the dates and all of that this year, it's a shorter shopping season than usual. There's only 26 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's six fewer days than last year. And that changes every year, of course, because Thanksgiving changes every year. And also, if you were paying attention, Hanukkah actually starts on Thanksgiving this year. So super duper early. So I've already started like picking things up as I'm walking through the mall. So I told you, I already bought five copies of Brad Meltzer's book to give as gifts. And I'm going to start wrapping early. I'm going to be ahead of the game this year. That's my plan. All right. So talking more about money in general and how we spend it and how we feel about it and how we talk about it. It's a funny thing. You know, we don't want to talk often about politics, religion, or money in public. These are the things that can really upset the person who you're sitting across the table from if you say something other than what they believe. And money of all of them is so interesting because, you know, let's take the dating situation, for example. You go into a first date, a blind date, if you will, dressed a certain way, you know, you go to a certain place and you're trying to establish yourself as looking maybe of a certain financial status. But you don't ever ask, so how much do you make? Can you imagine on a first date saying, how much do you make? Crazy. Yet, it's kind of important. You know, I mean, it is kind of important as you move into a relationship. Like you might ask on a first date, which I think is crazy, but people do ask, do you want to get married? Which is a little crazy for a first date. People do it. People do it. But how much money do you make?
Sometimes you kind of ease into that further down the road.
Right. It is so sensitive. It's such an interesting issue. And people really have a lot of hangups about money. I know my own hangups about money probably started when I was a teenager. You know, when I wanted to spend my allowance on designer jeans and stupid shoes or whatever, and my parents said no, you know, that's when my issues about money, I think, began. Or just watching your parents and how they dealt with money, all of that. Well, we have a clip today from the Results Matter radio show, which is hosted by Lee Cancer and Stone Payton. And this week, they had Michael Morgan, who is a certified financial planner and vice president and senior private client fiduciary advisor for Wilmington Trust. And he is talking about the psychology of money in this clip, and I thought it was fascinating. So take a listen to this.
We go into the wealth preservation phase with a change of psychology, just like dealing with divorce and marriage issues and family issues. We also have to deal with the psychology of money. And one of those things with...
And money is a highly charged... Right?
Yes.
Like people that they don't like to talk about money, that, you know, or they brag about it, or they behave in a way that's maybe more, you know, more... it appears like they have more money than they really do. I mean, you probably see both sides of the spectrum, right?
We get to see it all. and the nice thing and the bad thing is that we get to see it all. I mean, we know the truth in lifestyles and spending rates and those types of things for families, even though the general public may perceive it to be different for those individuals. But yeah, I mean, the psychology is is a big part of the game. It's definitely a charged issue for every family, for most individuals.
So is that true across the board, no matter how much wealth? I mean, you've probably seen throughout your career people with a little bit of money and people with a lot of money, and money is kind of has that same psychological charge at no matter what level they're at?
That it does. It's funny. You'll find Warren Buffett's at the Warren Buffett level, and you'll find Warren Buffett's at the, you know, I just came out of college and I'm starting to save level. But you'll also find people who are living paycheck to paycheck at the I just came out of college level, and you'll find people who live in paycheck to paycheck that own big businesses. It's just a psychology of how people address money, how they spend money, how they deal with their money.
All right, again, that was a clip from the Results Matter radio show. You can catch that whole interview at resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com. I have to admit that there was a clip earlier in the show that I thought about playing, and it was so over my head that I couldn't even bring it in. It was about investing, and I was like, huh? But here's the thing about the psychology of money that I just find so interesting. It's partly about how you choose to spend. There are savers and there are spenders, and that's another huge relationship issue. You know, if you get into a relationship with somebody and you both think about money very differently, that can be a huge problem for people. You know, if one of you is a spender and one is a saver, how do you reconcile that as a couple? You know, how do you teach your kids? I think we all have different philosophies on it. You know, some people think you can't take it with you, right? So they're going to spend it when they have it. Other people feel like they're worried and they got to clutch every dollar and they can't spend it because what if, you know, their security goes away? You know, what if their job goes away? What if they're whatever? So they feel like they have to cling to every dollar, you know? And so there's a lot of different mentalities around money. It also has to do with how we view ourselves in terms of status. You know, people who we look up to, people who have a lot of money, whether they deserve it or not sometimes. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was somewhere the other day and somebody asked, who is Kim Kardashian? Like, what has she ever done? And what is it? And someone else said, oh, well, it's just that her dad had a lot of money. And I don't even remember how she became famous. So I just, this was third hand. Someone said she made a sex tape and her daddy was rich. He was one of the lawyers for on the O.J. Simpson case. And that's how she became famous. I don't even know if that's true. So feel free to like tweet at me and tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm not claiming to know this, but it's all about money.
Well, that actually sounds closer to Paris Hilton, describing than Kim Kardashian. I could be wrong.
No.
I mean, obviously it is Paris Hilton, but it might be Kim Kardashian as well.
Well, Paris Hilton came up in the conversation too, because she's sort of another one of those wealthy people who is famous purely for having money and being pretty, I guess. But, sorry, I'm giggling because Mike just made a so-so kind of gesture. She's not that pretty. Anyway, it's just interesting, you know, how we view all of that. You know, we talked, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago during the shutdown about, you know, congressmen who said, well, fine, we won't take our paychecks during the shutdown because we want to sort of be in league with the other people who aren't getting paid. But they make $174,000 a year. So them giving up their paycheck for a week or two, no big deal, because clearly they have savings, you know, whereas these guys who are out making $22,000 a year working, you know, manual labor type of jobs can't afford to have 2 weeks without pay, you know? So anyway, it's just really interesting to think about our relationship with money, how we feel about money. We could bring a psychologist in and probably do a whole hour just on how we feel about money and straighten our own heads out about it, because I know I have hangups. You know, I have bottom line, you know, I don't want my savings account to drop below a certain number. I start to get nervous, but it's completely psychological. There's no reality there. It's just some number that I made up in my head that has nothing to do with anything, you know?
It could completely differ from anyone else's perspective.
Of course. And same thing with pricing on things. You know, we look at something and we say, okay, I know I'm willing to spend $50 for that. So if it turns out to be $100, then you're like freaked out because it's too much. But then you might spend $100 on something else without blinking an eye.
Or you might only think it's too much.
Right. Right. We have all this perception about value. It's just a very interesting thing that it's so charged. And it is actually such a man-made thing. We made up money. We made it up. And now we're all freaking out about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And I did promise you a story about Conan O'Brien and another one about Julianne Hough. So we'll have that right after the break. Stay with us.
keep it locked on Biz 1190 and biz1190.com.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family safety.
Take control of your family safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Donald Rumsfeld, CEO, cabinet member, a legendary leader, a lifetime of wisdom. Hi, this is John Ransom, finance editor at townhallfinance.com and host of Ransom Notes Radio, weekday afternoons at 2 here on Biz 1190. Your chance to meet two-time Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld as he shares from his new book, Rumsfeld's Rules Regarding Leadership, Business, Politics, War, and Life. Don't miss your chance to spend an evening with Donald Rumsfeld Monday, November 18th at the Atlanta History Center in Buckhead. Brought to you by Jewelry Artisans and Stone Mountain Pecan Company. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $35. Get yours now before we sell out at biz1190.com. VIP packages are available too. Get all the details at biz1190.com. Always right on the money. I'll see you there.
Let's get it started. It's a great day to be a CPA because this bean counter has a new asset, the new services center at OfficeMax. Their team set us up with cloud storage to safely back up our client files and access them remotely. We saved big on IT support. Cutting costs and securing files, we're certified, not crazy.
Get special introductory offers at the new OfficeMax Services Center. You'll find over 30 business and tech services. Learn more in-store or at officemax.com/services.
How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
For the latest financial news and information, keep it locked on Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X.
You seem to enjoy watching me work over there. You're like, yeah, that's what you're doing.
I'm having a good time. I'm just sitting here relaxed, chatting with my peeps, you know, having a good time hanging out. And you're over there working your little tushy off. It's all good. All right, so I promised a story about Conan O'Brien, so let's get to that. First of all, I like to talk about social media on this show. And I like to talk about social media often because I find the amount of time and effort that we have to put into it semi-ridiculous. So I love this story. Conan O'Brien has decided to take over LinkedIn. He made this announcement on his show earlier in the week, I think. And basically, he said he had a lot of followers on Twitter. He had tons of people on Facebook. He had lots of people following his YouTube channel, but he didn't have anybody on LinkedIn. So he created a profile and he decided that he was going to take over and try to become the number one influencer on LinkedIn, because that's what they call them on LinkedIn. And like right now, that's Richard Branson. Richard Branson is the number one influencer on LinkedIn. I think I'm probably number three or four, but, you know, just saying. But the best part of it, if you get a chance, Google the YouTube video of Conan O'Brien talking about this, because it is hilarious. The best part is that he says, I am going to take over LinkedIn, but I have no idea what LinkedIn is. Hilarious. Honestly, that's how I feel about Pinterest. I have no idea. I really don't understand what it is. I'm going to have to go spend some time on Pinterest and try to understand it. I know people love it. I don't understand. This is maybe me just showing my age, or I don't know. I'm just not staying current with technology. All right, so good, because you're only 31, so that makes me feel better.
Yeah, why don't you say that number a few more times?
31.
No, I don't know. I don't know what it is either. It's not an age thing.
It's not clear to me.
No, I don't. I'm not. I'm unclear as well.
And the few times that I've accidentally clicked over to it because I clicked on a link to something, I got like befuddled and ran away, you know, because I panicked. I didn't know what it was. Anyway, I love that story about Conan, and I just had to share it. So go on there. And I'm going to tell you something else. I went on LinkedIn when I read the story, and I looked up his profile. It's hilarious. And I decided to try to, instead of just being a follower, I actually sent him a connection request. So we'll see if he accepts my request. I'll let you know next week. That would be awesome. I'd like to be buds with Conan O'Brien. Why not? All right. Let's get to this week's soapbox, people, because I've got an axe to grind. I always do. And today, I know it's shocking, but today, my axe to grind is about Halloween. There's always something every year with Halloween. So there's a bunch of things that came up this year that I would love to talk about. The first is, I don't know if you caught this story earlier in the week, but University of Colorado at Boulder put out an announcement to students, not exactly restricting what their Halloween costumes can be, but suggesting strongly that they stay away from certain things. Listen to this. The students have been told not to wear quote unquote offensive Halloween costumes, including cowboys, Indians, and anything involving a sombrero. They have also been told to avoid, quote, white trash costumes and anything that portrays a particular culture as over-sexualized, including dressing up as a geisha or a squaw. They were also asked not to host parties with offensive themes, including those with ghetto or hillbilly in the titles, or anything associated with crime or sex work. Okay, first of all, can I just say, kids will be kids. And when you tell somebody not to do something, isn't that what they want to do? Do you think like everybody at University of Colorado Boulder is going to be dressed up as a cowboy or wear a sombrero this year? Because I would.
Yeah, more people will do it now.
I would. And I understand political correctness. And it goes both ways. When you're not in the group that's being offended, you're like, what's the big deal? But when you are in the group that's being offended, you're like, hey, wait a minute. That's not really cool.
It absolutely works both ways.
You know, so I do understand that as a culture, we should probably be somewhat sensitive. But can somebody please tell me what's offensive about being a cowboy? I don't get that. What is offensive about that? I'm confused by that. And even a sombrero, like you're not necessarily making fun of a Mexican person. I don't get that.
Plus, if a Mexican person wanted to wear a sombrero, would you forbid it? Because
I don't know. Yeah. It's very strange. I don't understand it. And speaking of sort of unacceptable, politically incorrect moves, we will now get to the Julianne Hough story. In case you didn't notice, the story I think just hit the news over the last 24 hours. Julianne Hough, the Dancing with the Stars champion, and actress, singer, country singer, etc., dressed up for a Halloween party this past Friday night at a party at Casamigos Tequila Halloween Party in Hollywood. She dressed up as the character Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black, which is a Netflix series. And her and a bunch of her friends dressed up as all the different characters from that show. And she happened to be Crazy Eyes, who happens to be a black woman. So she was in blackface. And apparently this was not popular with the PC folks. Very politically incorrect. You got a lot of heat for it. And there's articles all over the web. If you want to see it, Google it. It's another interesting question because she in no way was making fun of black people by wearing this costume. She was dressing up not as the actress who plays the character, but as the character. So like when I was a kid, I dressed up as the Fonz. This shows you how old I am, okay?
I know who the Fonz is.
I dressed up as the Fonz, and I slicked my hair back, and I put on a leather jacket and whatever, and I was not trying to look like, what's his name? I can't think of the actor's name. But
Henry Winkler.
Thank you, Henry Winkler. But I was trying to look like the Fonz, and coincidentally, he happened to be white, so I didn't have to color my face in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, she was dressing up as a character, so I don't know that that was so bad. And I will tell you this. On the web, of course, you get all kinds of opinions and all kinds of sides, but I do want to read this one quote that I found, one comment on the news story about this. This person wrote, and this is a direct quote, "Total BS, no need to apologize. I am black and I am not offended. I'm tired of those undirectional hypersensitivities. Besides, she was dressed up as a fictional character, not Uzo Aduba, who's the actress. Julianne, stand by your costume. You looked fine." So, you know, again, there's going to be people who look at things all different ways. I, for one, am kind of over the whole political correctness thing. I do appreciate a certain amount of sensitivity. I don't think we need to be, you know, nasty and racist and crazy, whatever. But at the same time, where do we draw the line between like just being ridiculous and being sensitive. I think being sensitive is appropriate. I think being ridiculous is not.
Well, no one knows exactly where the line is.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone draws their own, and I think you just have to let people do what they're going
to
do.
And there's always going to be something that's offensive to someone.
That's anywhere. For sure.
And even if it's very mild, and by your opinion, it's going to offend somebody else.
Absolutely. And now, last but not least, the issue that bothers me the most, that I am the most sensitive about, that happens, and this has been going on, I don't know, for as long as there have been Halloween costumes, I guess. I don't know when it started. But that is the tradition of Slut-a-ween. The idea that every costume that a woman or girl over a certain age, let's hope, can wear has to be half naked and slutty and sexy. Why? Why? Why do I have to be a sexy bee or a sexy nurse or a sexy policeman? Why can I not just be a bee or a policeman? And hopefully those are not politically incorrect costumes either. But, you know, what is that? And when you go to the store, listen, I'm not that creative. I can't make my own costumes. I don't know how to sew. I'm not very good at that. So if I go to the store to buy a costume and I want to be a vampire, the only store-bought costumes that are available to me to be a vampire is a slutty vampire. If I want to be a bee, it's a slutty bee. If I want to be a maid, it's a slutty maid or a slutty nurse or whatever. Why? I don't understand this. Here's what I think. I think there's a business opportunity out there for somebody who's creative to come up with a set of costumes for women that are attractive without being slutty. Like, I understand the desire, especially for you younger women in your 20s and in college, to want to go to a party, a Halloween party, looking attractive. Sexy, perhaps. But can we draw the line between sexy and slutty? Do we have to be half naked? Is that important, really? So I feel like maybe there's an opportunity for somebody to create a line of costumes that look good without being ridiculous. That's my suggestion. Like, does a nurse costume really have to have garter belts? And no, it does not. No, it does not. And also, while we're on this issue, why don't men have to be sexy? Let's see the half-naked man dressed up as a construction worker or the sexy naked man bee. Come on. I'm just saying fair is fair. They always try to say, like, women don't care about, you know, how men look, and we don't care about that. We're more... No. I want to see a sexy guy. If I have to dress up in a sexy bee costume, I want to see the same equivalent costume out there for a guy. Let's get some short shorts on the guys. You know, let's get some... Take the shirt off. Let's get some abs. I'm just saying. That's my opinion. I'm sure you'll all buy your sexy costumes this year like you do every year. And, you know, somebody said to me when I brought this topic up earlier that, you know, people, that they only have those costumes because people want to buy them. All right. Hopefully we can change that. All right. We are out of time. This has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. We will be back next week with more great clips from businessradiox.com. More of Atlanta's headlines, and more incredible nonsense. We hope to see you then.